League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
WHM Mailbag, everybody. I'm Andrew Jubin alongside what turned out to be the whole gang.
Finally!
Whoa. Eric Siska,
yeah.
Steven Sadak,
yeah.
Christopher Cabin. We are here to read some letters. What?
You pointed at me first because I'm first mate of the gang.
Wow, we're ranking each other now?
That's right.
No, dude, you're just going to be the first one I kill.
That's fine.
I'm the rook, dude.
Oh, shit.
You're going down, rook.
What's great about the rook is it can move almost anywhere on the board. It's got a really good, not yeah, like no, anywhere, it's not the queen.
It's got good power. Dude. It's got good power moves.
Yeah, it's very all straight lines though, mm-hmm. man.
Yeah.
Bishop is like, oh man, do I gotta fucking solve a math problem to move this guy or what? Diagonals? Christ.
As you can tell, chess isn't our game.
You know, yeah, knights are the worst because it's like,
oh yeah, it's like, I gotta move it.
Wait, I'm sorry, what is it like? Oh, got it.
By the way,
like Rin-tin-tin.
If you listen to this later, it's on YouTube. You can see me go,
and it's like, yeah, oh wow, the queen, you know, she can't do the knight's move. Good, I don't need it. That's enough.
Yeah, that's
enough with the L
chain. It was always so weird to me with chess because it was always just like, yeah, queen, a woman can't move like that.
You know what was weird for chess for me?
What's that?
Didn't understand it.
Yeah. Well, that's not weird at all.
I got a game for you, Chris. Stratego. I'm way into Stratego.
Really? I thought you were going to say checkers.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Chris just thought that chess was black and white checkers.
Stratego.
No, that's Othello. Excuse me.
Wait, what the hell is Stratego?
It's like Risk for Idiots.
Yes, exactly. It's one-on-one risk, and uh-huh. It doesn't take 5 hours, basically.
And it's like you got like these little are they like, it's like Napoleonic looking outfits?
Yes, yeah.
And it's just like, he's hiding in the bushes.
Well, it's basically like, yeah, you don't know what anybody else has. You try to attack somebody, and then the highest number wins.
So wait, was that the one we played in the bar that one time, or was it Risk?
I think it was Risk.
Okay.
Yes.
So I played the smart one.
We had like some epic Risk games in college.
Yeah, man.
Days on end.
Love Risk.
Like Newman and Kramer trying to take
on
the subway.
Maybe we'll do a live stream of a Risk game. That's because Risk goes on for a while, and you could really start talking shit.
I'll tell you this, gang.
I would like
that. We are seriously trying to figure out a board game podcast situation. Mm. Send us your recs.
Yeah.
What would you like to see us play live?
I do have Risk.
I have Risk as well.
Ooh,
and I'm at risk constantly for all sorts of things.
Well, this is a mailbag episode.
That's right. So we have some letters. We're going to read them really quickly. Or, you know, at your leisure, whatever you prefer,
okay,
Steve.
Cool. Sure.
So Steve will start us off here, as always.
You know, your at-risk joke made me cough. My super story. Hi, WHM gang. Your episode of The Super reminded me of my previous super, who is basically a female Joe Pesci. And now The Super is one of those episodes of movies that you probably haven't seen.
Yeah.
And I want to say you can always, when it's like, what the fuck is this movie? I can't even find it. Then just listen to the episode.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's what I refer to here on the show as a slips through the cracks episode,
uh-huh.
because nobody gives a fuck about that movie. But I will say, I'm particularly proud of that episode. So if you are
a lot of fun riffs.
Saving it until you can find a fucking, you know, Salvation Army VHS of that movie, don't waste your time. Just listen.
Also, The Super is for rent. You can rent it. Vibes where you actually have to do a hunt to go and find this movie.
The Super is on Amazon.
Yeah, just letting you know. So I moved into my first apartment with three of my friends in a bad part of town.
Oh, no, dude, you're gonna
Zodiac.
Now who's at risk, dude? You're gonna fucking, you are gonna kill yourself.
Oh shit, it's the Zodiac.
This is why you need to be watching us on YouTube. Because
yeah,
that's
you could
terrifying.
Watch someone die on camera.
It's just these antics you don't see when you normally listen to the show.
Take away your murder mask.
So I moved to my first apartment with three of my friends in a bad part of town.
That's like the start of a Springsteen song, by the way.
Bad part of town.
Moving in with three of my factory friends.
I could do actually the next line in Springsteen.
Oh, please.
We had a flower shop that was always out of flowers. A coffee shop with a back room that had more clients than the actual shop and a bar that managed to burn down three times in a span of a year.
This is late Springsteen, wow. I guess.
Dude, you could sell out the Garden.
Take that to Old Broadway, dude.
Despite all that, our landlord is a pretty sweet old lady. A pretty sweet lady. I added old for no reason. I
thought she was Joe Pesci.
Female Joe Pesci.
She was a female Joe Pesci. She was 2 feet tall and looked like a troll.
Allegedly,
uh-huh. Joe Pesci looks like a troll. She would always get back to us fairly quickly if something came up and managed to stay mostly out of our hair. About 2 years into renting the place, I heard a loud police knock at the door.
Oh, shit.
The kind of knock that tells you better answer the door in the next 5 seconds or I will knock it down.
Fuck cop knock.
I come to answer it with one of my roommates, and who do I see but a 50-year-old lady accompanied with a 6'5" gentleman staring daggers at me.
Eep.
She tells us that the building was under new management, that she was the new super, and that she was here to collect the rent. She doesn't introduce the large man standing behind her, and he just keeps glaring at me.
Give me the rent. Give me the rent.
There was a new old lady in town.
He had a 6'5" guy next to her. She was could have been someone in the NBA. I'm obviously very confused. I was never informed of any new management or anyone coming over with heavy backup to collect rent.
Backup.
So I calmly explained that, like we did for the 2 years prior, our rent would be sent directly to the owner of this building on time, and even offer her to pay cash directly for a discount.
Or even if her offer to pay.
Oh, I see. See. Okay.
Oh, she was like, give me a little less than the rent.
Oh, if you give it to me, like, just in cash.
This is a scam.
Now I got it. Our rent will be sent directly to the owner of this building on time. And even if her offer to pay her in cash directly for a discount seems tempting, we will keep using direct transfers so there's no more need for her to come back on the first day of every month. She seems pretty displeased with this.
Well, because she's a criminal.
Yeah, but like I said, we always paid our rent on time, so she had no leg to stand on.
And she literally didn't. She just had two little wooden pirate legs. That was
rollers just, in the hair, too, you know.
Just like Joe Pesci.
I thought that that was the end of it. But before she leaves, she takes a quick look at our place and notices my roommate's summer tires that he had left inside before placing them into storage. And she says, by the way, you can't keep tires here. They are highly flammable, and my sister burned to death when I was 8. And I would
take that.
Oh shit! My sister burned it. I'm going to do this as she did. My sister burned to death when I was 8, and I would hate to see the same thing happen to you.
Oh shit, dude!
Now I know creepy. It's total bullshit. Tires are rubber, literally one of the least flammable materials on Earth. And I mean, why would tires even be flammable? Would you put them on your car if you knew they would catch fire the minute a spark touches or there's a heat wave? That makes no sense. I just nodded and sent her on her way. Once your deal was over with, my roommate turns to me and says, did that old lady just threaten to set the building on fire? We both nervously laugh and call the landlord to make sure I wasn't just some woman trying to scam us out of our rent money. Turns out she was actually telling the truth. I know.
What?
Shocker. Flash forward a few weeks later, my semester is over. And
the house burned down.
Hold on a second. She was saying tires were flammable. That was true.
and the landlord knows that. Yeah. Flash forward a few weeks later, my semester is over, and I decided to treat myself to a nice home-cooked steak with homemade fries and some steamed vegetables. Wow. It takes about an hour to prepare the whole thing, and before I can have my first bite, I hear another police knock at the door. Only this time, it's my super and her bodyguard.
It's not.
It's not my super inner bodyguard, but it's actually five firemen.
Apparently, there's been three, four, five.
Apparently, there's been a gas leak, and the building needs to be evacuated immediately.
There are tires in here. Get down.
It's like the end of Backdraft.
It's a big wall of tires.
The tire. You see, like, the fire dancing on the tire.
Caruso, no.
One time, I was living at home. I was in my early 20s, and just me and my brother in the house, and I was taking a shower, and he runs into the bathroom like, Steve, there's a gas leak. And I'm like, yeah, I'm taking a shower. I'll be out in a minute. And he's like, but there's a gas leak. We have to get out of the house right now. And I'm like, yeah, I got work in 10 minutes. So I kind of like jauntily just kind of got my shit together.
Yeah.
And like when I come out, all the animals in the house are locked up and on the stoop. And he's like, and I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Look, we're fine. And I took a cab to work. But yeah
was, you were high as shit. But yeah, you got there.
Mostly so.
He couldn't read for 4 days.
That was just normal.
I looked at the thing thinking, oh my God, she did it. She made good on her threat. She's going to kill us. They barely give me time to grab my coat. And me and my roommates and the whole complex proceeds to wait 2 hours outside during the worst Canadian winter.
Ugh.
Barely clothed for the situation to get resolved. Turns out she wasn't the culprit, just the general incompetence, and her general incompetence, and she went on to creep us out for many more months, until we all quickly moved out.
Wow.
I still see my previous roommates often, and remember that time we thought our super tried to murder us? Is one of our favorite memories that took place right after. Remember the time she didn't fix the main entrance lock for months, so homeless people started sleeping in our hallways? Anyway, that was my The Super story. I know you already talked about it during the podcast, but do you have any more horrible apartment stories? I love those. Thanks, your fan from Montreal, Antoine.
Yeah, I do.
Oh.
In I don't know if I've ever told the story on the air. In our old apartment in Astoria, we were like already getting ready to leave the apartment. And they had been doing construction in the building.
Mm.
And like every time someone like vacated an apartment, they just gutted the fucking thing. And they were like doing full reno and then like jacking the rent prices. So we were like one of the last holdouts to move out. And so it was like a ghost town in the building. And like the fucking construction guys were acting like no one lived there. They were like leaving garbage in the hallway. They were fucking smoking like inside. It was awful. So a lot of the time that we lived in that apartment, there was like a ceiling leak in the bathroom, and the super would always come and like fucking, you know, patch it up and whatever. And
then
be on
drink
his way.
From the leak.
Right. Yeah. It made him stronger. So one day I'm working from home and I'm about to take a shower, and they had been renovating the place upstairs. About to get in the shower, and phone rings. It was someone from work. And I was like, all right, well, I rarely get a call from work, so this is probably a big deal. Let me take the call. I take the call, and like 30 seconds into this phone call, I hear this huge crashing sound. And I fucking go in the bathroom, and the entire ceiling had caved in. Right? And fallen all into the fucking bathtub. And if it wasn't for this coworker calling me, like, I would have had my neck broken.
Shit.
Like, really? Like,
yeah.
Dead?
Yeah. Like, wow. Tons of, like, just ceiling and shit in between all just, like, fell into our bathtub.
Yeesh.
And I look up, and this construction dude is looking down, and he just goes...
He would have saw you naked.
Well, yeah, dead naked, too. And he just goes, sorry. And I fucking lost my mind.
Yeah.
And like
Final
went
up
there.
Destination ever since.
Dude, yeah, I've been dodging the Reaper, man, left and right, fucking Tony Todd. It turned into this whole thing. The fucking building manager came and I was fucking screaming at this guy. And like, I've gotten like into it with people before,
sure,
but nothing like this. Yeah. I was fucking screaming at this guy. And he was like, we're going to do everything we can. They're going to patch it up right now. Yeah. It'll be done today, blah, blah, blah. You know, and, you know, I hope that, you know, I forget what he said, but he extended his hand.
Uh-huh.
And oh, I shit. Fucking turned around. I turned my back to him and stared out the window until he left.
Wow.
Years later, I come to find out there's a story in the Times about fucking a certain son-in-law getting fucking sued to ribbons.
Hey, buddy.
About fucking, yeah, it was Pauly Shore. about like crooked fucking renovation fraud and whatever. It's fucking, it's the Kush. Yeah. It's Jared Kushner. And I fucking, there's a picture in the Times and I'm like, huh.
He almost killed you. Jared Kushner
that
almost killed
fucking,
you.
That fucking like awning looks very familiar. And I fucking zoomed in, sure as shit. That fucking piece of trash owned that building and was lowballing it with renovations and blah, blah, blah.
That sounds all correct.
So like, fuck that guy from here to kingdom come. But yeah, so that's my fucking shit ass apartment
story. I have a slightly jollier one.
Jolly's good.
When I first moved here, I lived in Williamsburg with some of our friends from Purchase. And it was still in, this was like, it was a studio, but we had it like blocked off to be separate bedrooms.
You built those walls. The bedrooms had no ceilings.
But like the outside, when you got in the hallway, it was all drywall still.
It was like being, it was like trying to sleep in the middle of a Saturday Night Live set.
Yes.
Because like, you know, it was just like,
that's accurate.
It didn't actually, nothing was real. Like, right. Yes, there were rooms, but they didn't complete. You could,
those walls were just flats.
Yeah. You could just imagine a camera and a crane coming down into the room.
I want to thank Stephen Baldwin for stopping by.
Woo!
I'm sorry.
Yes. R.E.M.
Andy Samberg was great, huh? No, so one of these nights, I don't know if, this just came to become a thing amongst the group of friends. Mm-hmm. But one night we're all heading out, and there is a drawing of some random person with the name Dr. Poop Shadow.
Dr. Poop Shadow.
Of course.
And this became like...
Wait, I'm just now finding out that's where it's from.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've heard Poop Shadow for years.
Yep.
Yes.
Decades. Didn't know the dark origin.
I think it was oft guest Justin J. Case who originally really like glommed onto this like, what? Poop Shadow. And just somehow this turned into the thing that we referenced when we had to take a shit.
Well, all right, I'll step in here,
please,
for a second.
Please.
Yeah, it's a clarifying in-joke.
It's because you get shadowed.
Right, we made a verb out of it.
Yeah, it's basically...
Don't use this, by the way.
No, you should. It's too late. if you're in a position where you're not exactly ready to go to the bathroom, and you do the hop!
Yep.
And you got to run, and you know time is running quickly... That is, you get shadowed by Dr. Poop Shadow.
Right.
That's when he uses his
this fictitious villain.
Yes.
That, you know.
I should have asked the Marvel expert to really go into that and really be able to break it down.
Well, you're getting the origin story right. You know,
legend has it he would only be taken down by Sir Poop Juice.
So I was smoking a J while in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and then I just started doing graffiti. Dr. Poop Shadow. Hey.
Oh, man.
I got a quick apartment story.
Oh, please.
Do it.
When I moved out of New York City, I live just outside of it now, and I commute down. But when we were moving out, we were moving. It was like the last truckload of shit.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, okay, so I got these two bags of just garbage to take out, throw it out, you know, a lot, but then we'll be on our way. And the super of the building insisted that my movers take the bags of garbage onto the moving truck.
What?
And I didn't find out about this until I moved them into my fucking new place. Yeah. So I just had like two bags of garbage from Queens.
Dude, you should have driven back and fucking left them in front of the building. Well, you
know, so tempted.
He didn't want to lift it up because he ain't no Hercules. I ain't no Hercules. I'm not picking up all these garbage bags.
To get that joke, download that super episode. All right, Chris Cabin.
Okay. Getting pissed at movies. Dear WHM, I've been a loyal listener since my dad sent me down the podcast wormhole in 2013.
You get down there, goddammit! You think this thing isn't loaded? Get down the wormhole. Wow. I am just shocked being recommended this show by your dad.
Yeah, totally.
How old's your dad? Is he our age?
Probably. Oh, that could be.
Your show always makes my day and cackle by myself like a crazy person. I'm pretty chill when it comes to movies, even the bad ones.
That's cool.
If it's bad or horrible, I'll just move on or joke about how bad it is until recently. My fiance and I were just relaxing watching a movie one night. She was halfway through it. I just walked in and settled down, called The Prodigy from 2019. Steve, did you actually see this?
No, I didn't. It's Twisted on my list. I really want to see this. I'm a sucker for a haunted kid movie.
Oh, it's
this. Okay,
yeah, it's not good.
Hold on a second. The kids are haunted. The kid is haunted. Like there's a ghost inside of the kid.
Yeah, totally.
Really
big fan of those.
So don't go in that kid.
Noted.
The call is coming from inside the kid.
He ate my cell phone.
Sorry.
Slight spoiler for the movie. It turns out the evil kid is actually a serial killer reincarnated into this kid as he was born.
BTW, that's not a slight spoiler. That's the fucking whole turn there, buddy.
The whole entire movie.
For a movie everybody cares about.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
It's like Chucky, but with a real life boy.
It actually is. I've seen
it.
Yeah, I saw it. I did see it. And that's about what it
does
is.
Does he go,
you not really? God. It's kind of weirder than that.
Does he?
Yes.
Push this forward a bit. They can't see your beautiful face.
Oh, there we go.
Uh-oh, beer face.
No, other way. Pull it towards you.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
What if we all did beer face?
It's me, beer face.
Send me free beer. Forward.
Yeah, there you go. There. Now you got a better angle.
Okay, yeah.
Poop shadows.
I just want to be able to see Steve as much as possible.
Can you hear me, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's... Yeah. No, you kind of made it. Now you're good.
Are you okay?
Yeah. But it's kind of far away from you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get premium Steve, dude. No,
how's your chair?
You've got to go to the YouTube channel to get premium Steve.
Steve.
It's coming right up after.
You're getting premium
Steve. You could listen to this for free, but for premium Steve, it's $3.99 a month. And that gets you access to top tier videos, custom videos. You know what I'm talking about.
Do you remember
Camboy's solo play?
Steve's a cam boy now.
Do you remember it was on like Comedy Central Premium Blend where they would
It would be like remix of comedy sets.
It was just like, hey, we've got fucking 29 hours of stand-up comedy. How do we cut it up and how do we repackage it for you?
Yep, and it doesn't matter. They can be in different venues. It can be different decades. Nobody gave a flying fuck producing Premium Blend.
You can't hear me though?
What's that?
You can hear me going out? Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you are.
Yeah,
just be sure to open your mouth.
The voice is coming from inside the kid.
The minute I heard this, I became livid. My suspension of disbelief refused to believe this, and I would hear anything else. I wouldn't hear anything else this piece of garbage told me.
Your
Are you
fiance?
A reference to the wife?
Yeah, no, I guess the movie. Yeah.
My fiance found amusement in my anger. Well, good for her. Which, to her credits, seemed a bit irrational. I normally don't get heated like this. The only other time I can think of is when my dad came and told me about Thanos at the end of Avengers.
Wow.
So wait, do they have a vice versa thing going on here? The dad is telling him about this podcast and fucking Avengers Infinity War, and the kid is just pissed off at home?
It's the Thanos fucking stinger is what they're referring to.
Oh, that's what they're... Oh, yeah. Still.
But remember? Still, like the last movie my dad literally ever talked to me about was Saving Private Ryan. Wow. And then...
The weekend it came out?
Yeah.
In 1998?
Yeah, and then after that, it's
the shutters closed.
That's the end of movies. Movies have finished.
Wow.
And we don't watch new movies. We watch that movie.
The be all end all.
You don't show him like other war movies?
I hardly show him my face, Chris. Well, fair. No, I do.
We're all fine.
It's good.
Thanos at the end of Avengers, and I looked at him dead face and said, no. Any case, do you remember the first time you became upset or angry at a movie or something it's done? Thanks for all the laughs. Jeffrey.
Ooh, good question.
The first time? My first time. No, although I remember the realization I had when I was seeing Don't Mess with the Zoltan in theaters. Uh-huh. I got mad at myself.
Is that a big remake?
I think it's Zohan.
It's Zohan.
Zoltan. Yeah.
Zoltan is the fortune-telling robot in Big, right?
Yeah, that's why he just asked if it was a big remake. He was making fun of me.
I thought you meant like as in like a big... Wow, look at that budget. Look at that budget.
Don't Mess with the Zohan. And around the time he was beating up a person with his feet, I got so mad at myself. I was like, you could be doing anything right now. You could be home sleeping. You could be trying heroin for the first time. Here you are watching Don't Mess with the Zohan. And I get so furious, I just fucking up and left. I left the theater.
I mean, I get angry at movies quite a bit, hence all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're always pissed off whenever we do the show.
I'm trying to think of a notable one that I haven't mentioned on the show, but somebody else take my
I mean, here. I walked out of Mortal Kombat Annihilation. I think I mentioned that on our Mortal Kombat Annihilation episode.
But couldn't walk out of the show, though. Yeah. I got really pissed off recently with Voxelox. I was like, you think you're so fucking smart. Yeah. Fuck you. Fuck everything about that movie.
I really like that movie a lot.
Now it's up to you. Really like it?
Yeah, dude.
At first it was like, yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Now it's now I really like it.
Yeah. You're just mad because you're not smart enough to understand.
Yeah, you know, you're probably right.
It's
but you know what? Maybe someday I will figure out how to understand how cool mass shootings are. Fuck you.
I feel like that part didn't need to be a part of that movie, but I
Which of the three mass shootings you have to watch in that movie?
Is there more than just the start?
There's two.
Well, there's one that you watch twice. One as it happens, and then one POV fucking badass. Fuck you.
It's still better than A Star Is Born.
Yes.
Is there a mass shooting at the end of the credits?
Stinger scene. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I got pretty fucking... No, you know, Birdman pissed me off.
There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
Like, you were just bitching about that the other day.
Yeah, it's just every time I think of it, because I'm a huge Raymond Carver fan, and it was this thing...
Was he the Birdman in real life?
Well, no, that's what they're adapting. What are we talking
he
about?
He wrote the Birdman.
No, he did not! He wrote...
He's the Birdman writer.
What we talk about, what we talk
Harvey
about love.
Birdman.
And it was like, oh, it's like based on that. That's the play. And then, like, I liked the whole cast, and I was like, this movie's going to be great. Everybody says it's great. And I was like, oh, this is just fucking irritating. And you could save every piece of that movie.
It's interesting because, I mean, I haven't really thought about Birdman in a while in any way other than like that time you brought it up a few weeks ago.
Sure.
And I guess right now. But I didn't hate it. But Inarritu is one of those directors where like at least everyone who's like seen the his body of work has been burned by at least one of his movies.
Of course.
Every other movie of his is awful. And then one of them is like, whoa, it's great.
Yeah.
It's weird how that guy keeps like building his like cachet back up. But like
Babel, man.
Babel. That was the one for me.
Knuckling it in the theater.
That was for me.
Hated Babel. I liked the...
Did we see that together?
Maybe. I liked the Leonardo DiCaprio in the...
Revenant.
Yes. I liked that a lot.
Can I tell my Babel story really quickly?
Please.
It's got nothing to do with anything. Babel... I went to a preview screening of Babel the day I got hired to work at the Jacob Burns. They had a preview screening that night, and Inarritu was there. Mm. And so, movie ends. Fucking hated it, but I was like, cool. Inarritu though, like yeah. I'll stick around for this, you know. So he comes out to do this Q&A, and in the audience is Deborah Winger,
mm-hmm.
noted actress, Urban Cowboy, The Lovers. Deborah Winger, right? She's not. In Babel, right? And I don't think she's ever worked with Inarritu in a movie ever,
not
right?
That I can think of.
He spies her from the crowd and goes, Deborah, Deborah, Deborah Winger. And everybody's like, oh. But I'm like, why? Like, what is happening? And he goes, oh, Deborah, you saved my life. And that and
well, me, Sean Weiner, and Justin J. Case were all at this screening.
I didn't remember you were Justin. I remembered Sean was
we
there.
We were all looked at it like, really?
What? And but that was it though. There was no other reference to how what the circumstances were, like why his life was in danger.
He's just a big fan of Shadowlands.
I mean, dude, it is a mystery for the ages how she saved his life.
She was part of a Black Ops team that was. That got him out of kidnapping.
Got him out of kidnapping. It told him
he was
to
about
stop
to be disappeared, dude. He's going to be one of the fucking Desaparecidos. Oh, and Deborah Winger swung in and fucking saved him.
I thought he was kidnapped.
she got him off kidnapping cold turkey.
You know what's a funny little trivia item from Birdman?
Yeah.
Is that Michael Keaton plays Birdman, and in Spider-Man Homecoming, he plays... The Vulture.
That is the kind of shit you will find on IMDb, dude.
I guarantee you it's there. I guarantee you
it's almost certainly there.
All right, next one.
Vulture's a bird.
Chris Cabin, Do It Up.
No, here it is.
Oh, Eric Siska, excuse me.
What are we watching?
There you go.
Hey, movie haters. Hope you're all doing well. You know what? I'm okay.
Yeah, you're not great.
That's the entire email. Yeah. So we can just now talk about how we're doing. With the passing of John Singleton.
Fucking tragedy, dude. Maybe. Trump's still farting around.
It's insane.
Singleton's in the ground.
Well, great director.
What are you implying? Anyway, I've had a lot to reflect on today as far as my experiences with his films, whether we're watching Higher Learning in the Theaters in senior year of high school and wondering, is this what college is going to be like?
You better hope not.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
We're catching Too Fast, Too Furious on basic cable a couple of years after it came out and realizing that it was a fun popcorn action flick that might have some pretty decent franchise potential.
Wow.
Well, yeah. Well,
like look at a couple of little psychics there.
Your lips to God's ears, and God made that franchise go on for, I think,
God also took Paul Walker, though. Mm.
That's true.
The ninth one's next year, I think.
He gives and he takes. So next year, he'll take another member of the cast.
Try to guess which one.
Jason Statham. We'll see, you know. It's going to happen. That's my death pool. Anyway, that's not his letter.
Yeah.
I will try to find my spot again. But I think about Boys in the Hood, his undisputed masterpiece that and one of the decade's best dramas, and why the first time I watched it was purely by accident because it was one of the and the cause was one of the biggest laughs I've ever had at a movie.
Bah?
My family missed the film in theaters. Oh, come on, you. We go to you. Bring your mom and
go
dad.
See Boys in the Hood with your family.
So my mom, mid-30s.
Mine might have.
Yeah, that's true.
My brother, late teens, and I, mid-teens, wound up renting it on VHS. If a story of coming age in South Central Los Angeles seems like a weird film to watch with one's mom, it doesn't because I watched Cruising with my mother. It should be noted that she's
coming of age.
She studied film since I was a toddler and remains a movie buff to this day.
Oh.
Tell her about the show.
Oh, she hates it.
I still talk to her every so often about my thoughts after I've seen a Coen Brothers, Jim Jarmusch, or Spike Lee film for the first time. So we didn't go into this movie blind. We knew that Singleton was considered a brilliant young visionary, and within the first two-thirds or so of the film's running time, we came to the same conclusion.
Wow. It is a really good movie.
Yeah.
It is good. There was one thing. Late in the film, we got a scene where Trey, Cuba Gooding Jr., has sex with Brandy, Nia Long. No matter how hip your mom is, that is the kind of scene that no teenager wants to share with the room with his parents during. Disagree. And she seemed to pick up on that shared awkwardness pretty quickly.
Yep.
Her solution, which I have to admit seemed like the only practical immediate measure at the time, was to fast forward through the scene. Come on, dude, just let her ride.
Yeah, we're already in this.
We know
it's
what's
not
happening.
That long.
We know what's happening, dude. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, Ma. But since VCRs work the way they do, this only continued to play at the sex scene at a much higher playback speed, which meant the two teenage boys got to watch Cuba Gooding Jr.'s sexual
undulations.
Undulations. That's how you spell that. I've always wondered.
You've never unduled, man?
Turned into a Benny Hill scene. Now that guy could undulate. My brother and I completely lost our minds with laughter at the sight of the rapid-fire humping, and I don't think I've ever seen my mom so flustered in her life before or since.
Yeah.
I suppose it's a testament to the greatness of Singleton's filmmaking that I still came away from the movie,
page turn,
legitimately moved, even after such an immature laughing fit during it. R.I.P. to a legend. Sincerely, Nate. And Nate, thank you for this email, and I'm sure you sent it a little while ago.
Because he's been dead a little bit now.
He has
just a little bit. He passed in late April. Yeah, it's all relaxed. It's not that bad.
You know, he died. We fast forward. We just got your email.
Yeah, you know, sex scenes with parents. There's two kinds of parents in this world. Parents where that's fine, like Eric's mother and Chris Cabin's parents.
I would argue
parents.
Too fine.
And then my parents, which it was like, my mother would leave the room, or my father, the classic, what is this shit? And I'm like, Dad, you dig it, dude.
My mother shut off one movie. Sex scenes would come up in movies like...
Just straight up shut off, though. Like, yeah, turned off the DVD
turned it
off.
Really? Once. Un time. It was watching Chasing Amy with her. I don't know why we were doing this. This is my whole family movie night watching Chasing Amy.
Wow. There's a sex scene in that?
There is, but that's not what it was.
I forgot.
It was way before that, and it's it's the scene where Ben Affleck and Joy Lerner Adams are just sitting in the playground, and he's like, they're talking about, you know, how can lesbians have sex? What about penetration? And Joy Lerner Adams does this hand motion. She goes, well... And does that?
Yeah.
And then that's it. This is this is too much. This is
wow.
It was just, and it wasn't sex, but it was the
yeah.
It painted a picture. Mr. Smith painted a picture.
Oh, pretty clear.
My mother
picture.
Did not want to care to look at.
Yeah, sparked your imagination.
Yeah, it did. Oh, it sparked a lot of things.
Yeah, no, that sets you on a track for the rest of your life. That's what that was. You and several other people in this room.
Absolutely.
All right, so here we go. The Blade Incident. Dear WHM, I would like to regale you with an instance.
You're just telling us a story.
Yeah.
Regale.
Yeah, you're right.
You can regale someone in an email.
Go back to the Renaissance Fair.
We're not in Middle Earth. You're not going to fucking regale me
but
with
But I want to be, so do it so that I can pretend.
Well, let's see what happens. Maybe you will be regaled. I would like to regale you all with an instance of pure film cowardice. It involves me as a child seeing the Wesley Snipes classic Blade. Needless to say, this story does not have a happy ending, much like Blade. It all began. See, you are being regaled. In the summer of 1998, I was 11 years old, and much like Steven Sadak, I was a bit of a coward when it came to horror movies.
Right on, dude.
Steve Sadak approved.
Uh-huh.
Was this still going on in 98?
Oh, no, not for Blade.
It was. It definitely was.
I mean, I saw
oh my God, it was.
I remember seeing Event Horizon and being terrified.
Oh, sure.
I think that's probably 97 or 99.
Like 97. That sounds 97.
I remember, man, that was a great movie to see in the theater at that age.
I saw it on fucking really? DVD, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'll never forget when that dude's, like, decompressed in space and his eyes, like...
Yep.
Are we talking to someone?
No, I was trying to go on IMDb.
Oh, weird.
You were trying to go on IMDb and it started talking?
Because he doesn't use the app, dude. Okay. He just fucking goes on the website savage. all right, let's see. My dad and I made plans to go see Blade, followed by a trip to the pool to finish out the day.
Wow.
Fucking nice day, man.
Yeah, that's good.
As we were heading to the movies, my dad kept reiterating that if I got scared, it was okay to leave, giving me an out if things should go bad.
Oh, like you're Batman. And then you'll become Blade Man in the future. Remember Batman and he got scared at the opera?
Oh, right.
Can we go? And it's like, all right, little baby, let's go outside. Oh, wow, now we're dead. Because you were too scared to be at the opera.
Maybe if someone wasn't a stupid baby, I wouldn't be haunting you right now.
All I know is I wouldn't have been killed at intermission.
I would have eaten popcorn.
Hey, Figaro, fuck you.
Your mother's pearls would be on her neck, not all over the fucking street.
This guy wouldn't be jerking off on my corpse.
Gave your mother a pearl necklace.
Snyder cut, dude.
We might as well have seen Excalibur.
I told him I could handle it, and we went into the theater. Turns out I couldn't handle it. When the lights went down, a minor feeling of anxiety kicked in, but I tried to ride it out. This feeling got progressively worse during the bloodbath scene, but was abated when the scene became more action-oriented. I was still a bit on edge, and it wasn't much longer when Donald Logue rips out a man's throat that I finally broke. I told my dad we had to leave, and he was
like, We have to leave! He knew Udo Kier was coming. He's like, I gotta get out of here.
Yep, dude, I hear you. I fucking hear you, dude.
Hello, it's me, Udo Kier. I'm sitting next to you on the plane.
Real-life vampire.
We have to leave.
We left the theater and drove to the pool, surprising my mom, brother, and sister that we were there so early.
Oh, this is funny.
Kevin got scared, was all my dad said. And it led to some light family ribbing to the point that even after I got older and watched more horror, my dad would constantly bring up what he referred to as the Blade Incident. Thanks for the laughs, both free and on Patreon, Kevin. Well, Kevin, thank you for being a loyal Patreon subscriber. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I get that. Although I started watching horror at a really young age, but I do recall the second film I ever saw in theaters, Ghostbusters 2. Mm-hmm. And when Viggo the Carpathian first fucking ducked out of that painting a little bit, I fucking lost it and I hid under the seat. Similarly, the third movie I saw in theaters was Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yep.
Dude, he talked like that. Dude, I fucking shat
That's
trousers.
That's still scary.
It's, yeah.
Scarier it's still than scary. Insidious.
Holy shit, dude. Scarier than Insidious. Yeah, it just might be.
Not in that direction because I've told all my scared stories. But
right. But not the time you were scared straight.
That still hasn't happened. Family jokes at your expense that never go away. There was,
oh, yeah.
We were at Sesame Place. There's a picture somewhere in my... I think it's gone missing, and everyone
now,
thinks
what,
I...
What is Sesame Place?
Oh, Sesame Place is in Pennsylvania. It's basically like Disney World for Sesame okay. characters.
Right, yeah.
Sesame Seeds?
Sesame Street.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Sesame we're not impregnating Elmo.
No, we're not.
I didn't know if it was like a really boring Hershey's or something.
No, it's next to Hershey Park or near enough oh, Hershey okay. Park.
Yeah, it's close that, you know, you can make a whole weekend out of it, dude, if you really want to be bored
just
to tears.
Just a bunch of rides about tahini.
No, but there was this, it was a three-tiered column and, you know, it was one of those things where like, Gonzo's, not Gonzo, fucking, I don't know, Bert's head tier.
Jeff.
And then, Jeff. Like, Bert's head's here, and right. then Big Bird's body's here, and right. then Ernie's feet are there, and you spin them around.
Oh, sure.
Disgusting.
To
so
match
it's like
it up.
The end thing monster, but with all the Sesame characters?
No, it's just a little thing for children.
It's like a match game
it's
kind
a little
of
yes. the thing for
you know
children.
What it, you know what it was like? Remember in Super Mario 3 yes. when you went to that bonus little mushroom hut? And the image flew by, and
oh,
you had to like
okay.
click, click, click to match up the picture.
So one of Toad's gambling houses he yeah. had.
Dude, that guy was a real fucking degenerate.
Hey,
man.
Mary, how's it going? Come here, come on, come on, come on.
He's still like that in Mario Odyssey, dude. Yeah. He's like, oh, hey, you want to come over here and race some fucking turtles? Yeah. What's the vig on this turtle race?
Just stomp on some of their heads. Leave the other ones alone.
Listen, Mario, we need some action. I'll get you some action on this fucking match. Game Mario. No, so, and that's what the thing was.
Yeah.
And I remember very clearly, I was 5 years old doing it, and me and my brother are both in bathing suits. It's a picture. I did it, and then he fucked it up. Like, uh-huh. And it's a picture of me, and my fucking dad took this picture, and I'm screaming like Batman on the cover of Death of a Fan, like, tears down my face. No one ever let me forget that picture.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never seen this photograph.
No, I don't know if it exists anymore. I might have destroyed it in a moment. But
oh, the archive fire.
Yeah. I was like,
you kept tires in there, dude.
Oh, all right, what do you got? One more?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, so this is Shrek for P.
Shrek for P.
Uh-oh.
Hi, fellas. I'm a big fan of the podcast and a proud Patreon subscriber.
Thank you.
By the way, Patreon is great if you're not on there. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies.
That's
a ton
right.
of great stuff. This month we dropped a Kingsman episode.
Yep.
We did another G.I. Joe animation, Damnation. We've got an Independence Day commentary coming out.
Oh,
we
yeah.
might as well say Forrest Gump. It's going to be an episode.
Yeah, Forrest Gump in July. Ooh, Patreon just, bonus, man.
Just in time. When I saw you guys did an episode of 2004's blockbuster masterpiece Shrek 2, I had to share my horror story of working at the Shrek 4D theme park show.
Wow. What? Working at. not
a
just
second.
A story about attending one time.
Nope.
Working at.
4D, dude. That means it's not only three-dimensional Shrek, it's time.
No, dude. That
got,
means.
Like,
you know what that means, dude?
You Shrek are Shrek.
Forever, it's not time.
Dude. You no longer look like Shrek. You are Shrek.
You born
no,
Shrek.
Dude,
you born
no,
Shrek.
No, no, no. Listen, it's even worse.
The Shrek virus.
It just means
you.
You're smelling shit.
Yeah.
You're smelling Shrek?
I bet you it smells stuff.
We're going to find out.
I
worked at Universal Studios for 5+ years.
Wow.
And 3 of those years at the famous, now fortunately closed, Shrek 4D.
Ugh.
About 6 months before we closed, we were running the operation like normal.
The operation.
And about to close the for the night when a very drunk middle-aged man walked into the into the show.
Oh my God, Mike Myers.
Mike Myers wishes he was still middle-aged.
One of our positions was to supervise the theater and watch the guests watch the show just to make the guests just to make sure the guests don't break the rules. I wish I knew what the 4D thing was, though.
I think it's, dude, time. I think it's time stuff. Maybe sex.
I mean,
You're it's in a just, bookcase.
Because it's like, it's not 3D, like shit's popping out of you. It's like, it's there. You're
like,
there.
In theaters in Japan, I think like you, like when the wind is blowing a lot, like they'll put on like fans.
Well, we what have the, that here.
What are those wretched theaters that I'll never go to? Is that 4D or is that 5D?
In Union Square Regal, they have a 4D theater. That's how I saw Mission Impossible Fallout. Right, that was the most recent one.
Yeah, yeah, they had a fan going.
There's fans.
A nuke went off for real.
All in the theater.
It got really hot.
The seats lift up like you're on a fucking roller coaster. I'm getting fucking douched with water when they T-bone that truck and it falls into the river. When it hits the water,
oh, that's.
Dude, this mist, you have no idea where that water's coming from.
That's disgusting.
And I accidentally bought tickets to it, so I was fucking furious.
And it was like $31 a ticket or something.
But it's Manhattan theater prices, so I was like, well, I guess they renovated, and I just bought the ticket. The timing worked out.
Leave it for pornos. That would be a great porno theater.
Yeah, that's what I want. Fucking jelly hit in my face.
Yeah, you get sprayed with stuff like warm water to simulate piss.
Wait, where's this theater?
They're just vaporizing Power Glide on you.
Okay.
All right, so this is about... Now, the 4D is Shrek sex stuff.
One of our positions was to supervise the theater and watch the guests watch the show just to make sure the guests don't break the rules. The theater was empty except for a tourist group, a family of five, and one disheveled, very drunk man.
Yeah, he was.
The lights go down, and I saw the man sitting all the way in the back. Ew.
Not good.
He's going to jerk off.
Yeah, where else are you going to jerk off? You can't jerk off in the front row.
I didn't read ahead. I'm just calling it.
I thought to myself, he's probably going to pass out, and I'm going to have to wake him up at the end of the show. About halfway through the show, the man shot up, unzipped his pants.
Yep, he beat the Shrek.
Took out his flaccid dick.
Hell yeah, dude.
And started to pee all over the floor and the seat.
Wow, golden shower D.
Then he proceeded to yell, "This is for you!" at the screen.
And that man later went on to be president of the United States.
Then he sat back down like nothing happened. I was shocked, but kept my cool and called security.
Oh, my God.
They arrived shortly after the show had concluded. Well, I like the
way,
idea.
Yeah,
like,
way to go, security.
They're like, oh, somebody's pitching in there, but the show's got to go on.
You're just hearing the slush in the other seat.
This is Shrek 4D. This is theater. The show must go on. I will not interrupt a performance of Shrek 4D.
I don't care who's getting pissed on.
Cue the donkey shit.
Oh, yeah, there's a donkey in Shrek.
They arrived shortly after the show had concluded. The other guests in the theater were clearly mortified and had shuffled out as fast as they could.
Yep.
While security was escorting this man out of the park, I could hear him intensely sobbing. I'll never know whom he was talking to or why he chose to take a violent piss at the Shrek show.
Violent piss.
I've been there.
Guess who had to mop up his stinky piss?
Oh, donkey. I hope someone else.
Donkey had to do it.
I've seen a lot of shit, literally, while working there, but that image of a sad drunk man yelling at Shrek has always been burned into my brain.
Oh.
What's the craziest story y'all have working at the theater? Keep on Shrekking. Love, Rose.
Oh, Rose, thank you for being a loyal Patreon subscriber. I don't know if I've told this story on the air. A lot of multiplex horror stories, of course. It goes with the territory. The movies are a fucking horrible place. It's a wretched hive of scum and villainy. One night, it was like a busy Saturday night. We're cleaning theaters. We're in one theater, and we hear this like banging sound. It's like, where's that banging coming from? And we all kind of like stop, look around, couldn't figure it out, and kept cleaning. Went on to the next theater, cleaning the theater, hear that banging again. Where is this fucking banging coming from? Could not place it. Waiting outside a third theater for it to fully, you know, clear out and whatnot. We hear the banging again. And I don't know if it was me or somebody we're working with realized, like, oh, it's coming from like the emergency hallway.
Mm.
So, like, you know, like every movie theater has like the back hallways you can like exit, you know, if there's an emergency. Also, like, they weren't armed with an alarm, so you could just exit that way if you wanted to, right? So we go down the back hallway and the banging's getting louder. So, like, you know, you're on the right track.
This is where you cock your gun.
I'm armed only with a broom, dude. We open this door there's an entire family in this stairwell. And this dad is like down at the bottom of the stairs.
Yeah, and broom to the face.
The family is like up, like sort of huddled by the door. And the guy like yells up and he's like, oh, fucking finally, we've been banging for, you know, however long or whatever it was. And we're like, all right, well, what are you doing back here? And it was like, well, we saw the exit sign and we thought we could get out, but this door's locked down here. And I go, no, it's not. Like, that's the exit to the parking lot. Yeah. And he marches up and he's like, that door is locked, goddammit, or whatever. And I was like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
And he says, show me. So I walk down these stairs and push the door open.
Yeah.
It's totally fine. Yeah. And I'm like, see, it's not locked. Like, the cool summer night breeze is blowing on my face. And as I'm like soaking that in, like thinking about, you know, I'm going to be off soon, going to go to Taco Bell and get some food. I'm going to be home watching a movie, just basking in the fucking fatness of Taco Bell. When I hear this guy say, huh, that's funny. I couldn't open that door when I went down there to take a piss. I'm standing in a like 4x4 little tiny corner because the door is right there. So I'm just standing in piss.
Yeah.
Just this man's piss.
It prepared you for the New York subway.
Which it did.
He made his family watch him piss.
Now you kids, look at this. This is what happens when they don't unlock doors. Yes, I just fucking stood in fucking human waste.
That guy is gross.
This wasn't very gross. I mean, emotionally a little gross. This was, I think, my second or third year at the multiplex. And I was
Chris Cabin year three.
Yeah.
And you pissed back there?
I did piss back there a couple times, Eric. I got back in, though, because I could open the door.
Did you really?
Yes, of course I did. I defiled.
He was that dad.
That's me. So I was cleaning the bathroom and just like sweeping up, doing a check and everything like that.
Yeah.
But there was one guy in there and he was in one of the stalls. And he was clearly taking a massive horrid shit. It smelled like it. It was just like, no, and like you heard the little noises every once in a while.
Yeah, those pangs of struggle.
He got shadowed, man. He got shadowed hard.
Definitely got shadowed, dude.
The doctor strikes again.
And this must have just been when like cell phone, regular cell phones were becoming a thing. Because he had a cell phone with him.
Yeah.
And he picked it up. And I don't, he says, hey, and I'm like, okay, and like, I'm like, I feel like intrusive already.
Yeah. Oh, but you didn't initially think this dude was talking to you?
I was like, kind of.
Did
like,
you hear the phone ring?
Yeah.
Oh,
I heard a rumble. Like, I think it was on vibrate or something.
They used to be really hardcore with the vibrate.
Yeah, that's
back
why
in the day.
So I hear him say, hey, nothing. And then, I'm sorry. And it was clear that he was being broken up with on the phone while taking a shit.
Dumped while taking a dump, dude.
And like, and the thing is he knew, he must have known I was there because he made it very, like, he was like, I'll come home. I'm going to come home. I'm not going to go to work. I'm coming home.
Oh, no.
It's just like, said, okay, bye. And then, like, I hid in the stall. I don't know what this man looks like.
Oh, did you put like like you're in a horror movie where you like stand on the toilet so he doesn't know anyone's there?
I didn't do that, but like I backed all the way up so I was like over the where you flush it.
Oh, you're straddling the plumbing?
So like he would actually have to look down and look see me.
But he was kicking open each one.
Yeah, that's right. I'm gonna kill anybody who heard me cry.
He didn't say another word, just sobbed on his way out.
That's a violent sobbing.
That is great.
Woo.
Sob shitting stories.
One time this dude took a dump on one of the seats during a performance of Seabiscuit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we put a garbage bag over that seat and left it.
That's it?
Yep. Left it for the cleaning staff at the midnight shift.
That's it.
Weirder thing, I think this was a morning like Mission to Mars screening for this guy.
Oh my God.
So first of all, you've got diarrhea in the morning and you're getting broken up with it in the morning. Yeah. Shit.
You better be hungover, man, because having that happen to you and not being hungover, that just sucks.
And it must have been a bad one because it was like clear, like she had waited for him to leave or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So to make the phone call.
Wow.
The locks have been changed.
I'm sorry. Get your ass to Mars.
Oh, my God. Get your ass to divorce court.
Well, that is WHM Mailbag for this round. If you want your weird stories read on the air, or if you have a question for us, write into that mailbag. weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Gavin.
Eric Siska.
Yeah, I don't know what you're doing. Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Looking for the perfect base camp to explore Moab's stunning landscapes? Welcome to Spanish Trail RV Park, just 3 miles south of downtown Moab. Enjoy spacious pull-through sats with full hookups, free Wi-Fi, and cable TV. Relax in our heated pool and spa after a day of adventure. Clean restrooms, laundry facilities, and a pet-friendly environment make your stay comfortable. With breathtaking views of Red Rock Cliffs and the La Salle Mountains, Spanish Trail RV Park offers a serene retreat. Plus, you're just minutes away from Arches and Canyonlands National Parks. Experience the beauty and convenience of Spanish Trail RV Park, your home away from home in Moab. Book your stay today at SpanishTrailRVPark.com.
Looking for the perfect getaway in the heart of Utah's scenic beauty? Welcome to Mountain Valley RV Resort in the stunning Heber Valley, Utah's highest-rated RV destination. Enjoy spacious RV sites, cozy cabins, and tent spots, all nestled against the stunning Rocky Mountains and shadow of Mount Timpanogos. Dive into heated pools, relax in hot tubs, or challenge friends on pickleball courts. Families love the playgrounds and sports courts, while adults can unwind in exclusive 21-plus areas featuring a luxurious clubhouse and spa. With top-notch amenities and breathtaking views, Mountain Valley RV Resort offers an unforgettable experience year-round. Whether you're seeking adventure or relaxation, Mountain Valley RV Resort is your home away from home. Book your stay today at mountainvalleyrv.com.